Good evening, Seattle, Little Saigon, and all those places that still exist somewhere in North and South Dakota. Good evening to all of the ancient mariners still at sea or under the sea in a submarine. Good evening to the folks of the East Coast, the West Coast, the Gold Coast, the coast to coast. It's 6 p.m. in Seattle, Washington on Sunday, January the 26th, 2020. Yes, indeed. And I truly don't have much of a topic. Yeah, you know, if we really break this thing down, I've been kind of lazy in a way with my podcast recently. I've been kind of lackadaisical. In general, I've been trying to become more focused on a kind of weird optimism. But the weird optimism of a 50-year-old man in Little Saigon, a burnt-out computer programmer, what is the weird optimism of that creature? Is that the weird optimism of running through the streets being chased by raccoons and coyotes? Is it the weird optimism of a man who decides he's going to go live on an island in the middle of the sea? Is it the weird optimism of a future of robots? Is it the weird optimism of a future of laser cannons that can split the sun in two? Is it the optimism of an Elon Musk who tells us we'll be living on Mars, having sex orgies, drinking champagne and snorting coke in 5 years? That's optimistic. I suppose I'm looking for a wretched, wretched, weird optimism. Yeah, I'm very optimistic. I was listening to Rob Kirby on Greg Hunter. I have been listening to Rob Kirby off and on, as so many others of these alt voices of reason, quote unquote, the elder statesmen of the fringe. I've been listening to Rob Kirby and his Canadian perspectives for almost 10 years. And I got mixed feelings. In general, he seems like a good enough guy. I was listening to his podcast, or I should say his interview with Greg Hunter tonight. He did it about a week ago. And he believes what I believe, and I think he's been very consistent, is that we are nearing a kind of crack-up boom, a period of false and rather extraordinary economic growth, followed by a significant and rather drastic hyperinflationary setback. And I don't think we're going to get 5 years or 4 years. I don't even think we're going to get 3 years. I think at best, with all the little tricks they have left, they're going to get 2 years. And maybe they'll get 2 years of something that looks like 4 or 5% GDP growth worldwide. Because everyone's going to participate in the crack-up boom superpalooza. The Chinese are in. The Indians are in. Even the Pakistanis are probably in now. This is like a buddy movie from the 60s. They're the Rat Pack of disgust. Every central bank is part of that Rat Pack, and everyone is in for the big score. And guess who's gonna be fleeced, my friends? Yes, it's gonna be you, buddy. You're gonna be the one who gets robbed by the Rat Pack in Vegas. Ocean's 11's coming for your gold, buddy. Yeah, I don't know. I don't know, folks. The current scenario, I think, is a kind of extraordinary period of unbelievable economic growth. I say unbelievable because it's going to be fueled by an unprecedented amount of debt. And on the surface, we're going to see the balance sheet expansion, and on the surface, we're going to see the federal debt explode, but that's only going to be the surface, the tip of the iceberg. Underneath, there's going to be a junk bond palooza in the shale patch and in the fucking oil tar sands patch in fucking Canada. There's going to be a junk bond palooza. There's going to be a derivatives palooza. Holy fuck, whole new products probably. Probably they'll just recognize that the ninja loan, no income, no job, no nothing, is the future. And so they will collateralize ninja fry cook bonds. These bonds will be slightly worse than junk bonds, but they won't have a category for them, so they'll call them fry cook bonds. Or hooker bonds, or stripper bonds, bonds that you use to finance the loans that you would ultimately give to a fucking stripper. But it's Sunday night, my friends. Hooker bonds, stripper bonds, cocaine dealer bonds, and don't forget meth head bonds, meth head loans, collateralized meth head loans. Yes, we're going to see all kinds of financial products before this phase is over. We're going to see moon bonds, super solar bonds, maybe even 10,000-year galaxy bonds to fund space exploration and backed up by planets in the Goldilocks zone of other solar systems. Can you imagine the bonds that will be issued in 2021? These bonds will yield, I don't know, maybe a negative interest rate of some sort, which means they'll also be classified as self-destructive bonds. Because at termination, at redemption, the bond itself should be worth technically nothing. In fact, it's even possible that at termination, you're going to owe them money. Or or I should say your descendants will. They will be turned into Lordian slaves. They will be forced to clean the butts of robots. Yes, robots will rule by then. And their idea of extravagance will have humans wiping their butts. They will invent buttholes that produce the nastiest poop so that they can have people wiping their butts, just to have people wipe their butts. Think about them, their robots of the year, I don't know, 10,000? Or rather the year 12,000. Can you imagine the robot overlords of the year 12,000 and all the humans who get the job of wiping their butts? What a wonderful future. Yeah, you know, I used to be an optimist, and as an optimist, I used to say people should buy physical silver and buy physical gold. And now I tell people, you know what, make sure you have as much food on hand as possible. Make sure you have bottles of vitamins, because frankly, the food will not get better. It will get worse for a while, maybe horribly worse. Make sure you have the ability to purify water in some way. And make sure you have shelter. And then if you've done those things, I think having a shotgun for most people, because frankly most people are not that talented, having a shotgun is a pretty good weapon for people to have, you know? And if you're worried about seriously killing people, load it with birdshot. Yes, 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 you can kill a person with birdshot. But for the most part, you know, at any range greater than 20 feet, you're simply going to injure them and fucking scare them away. But probably closer than 20 feet, you can cause some damage. Anything closer than a few feet, and it's really just a fucking, you know, canister of hot air going at hundreds of miles an hour, just the shock wave could kill you. So yeah, there is no such thing as a harmless firearm, by the way. If you're someone out there who says, Dan, I would love to have a gun, but I want one that's safe. Well, I would say to you, you know what? I would love you to own a car, little lady. I'd love you to own a brand new car. But can you make sure the car that you get is fucking safe? Which means you don't get to drive. I'd love it if you owned a new car, a 3,000-pound car, that's capable of going, I don't know what, 100 miles an hour? Do the math, folks. I'd love you to own that car, but it turns out, you know, it turns out that it's dangerous and it can kill people. There is no such thing as a harmless gun. In my opinion, even toy guns are harmful. In fact, in some ways, toy guns are the worst. You know, there's nothing more entertaining than being at some progressive liberal household in the Seattle area where these people will give their speeches about how evil guns are. But then they have their kids, you know, and their kids have toy guns. They've got these toy Nerf guns and these toy water guns. And I try to explain to these people that, you know, people these days, please listen, douchey hipster Seattle couple. People these days are stupid. If they see you with that fucking Nerf gun or your kids in the street, they're gonna call, you know, they're gonna do the 911 if you see something, say something bullshit. And yeah, even worse, you know, there are dudes in some neighborhoods. If they see you pull a weapon, they're not going to check and make sure it's Nerf. They're simply going to return fire. Yeah. I used to say to people, you should buy some silver, and I still say this to people. They say, Dan, you think everything could go to shit? What should I invest in? And I tell them, I am a penniless drifter living in Little Saigon who can measure his life expectancy in terms of months at this point. In fact, why not start just keeping track of months? How many months does Uncle Dan think he has left? I think I might have somewhere between a 100 months and 180 months, maybe. And I say this because, truly, folks, I'm 50 years old, and unlike all of the techno-optimists of my youth, I no longer believe the great lie that technology is the answer to everything. I love technology. I've worked in technology. If technology were still a tool and not a religion or a cult, I'd probably still be happy to be working in technology. But it's become a kind of cult. And now it's just a question of people believing that technology exists on its own. It's kind of like Moore's Law. People will say, well, Dan, what about Moore's Law? And what about von Neumann and the singularity? Isn't it the case now that technology is expanding at such a rate and knowledge is expanding at such a rate that it cannot ever be stopped? And therefore, in 5 or 10 years, we will all be either, taken care of by the robots or killed by the robots. I don't know, folks. I don't know. I don't know. It might be the case that technology is going to fix every single problem we create. I doubt it. I doubt it. In fact, the history of technology is that it's useful, but it does not fix human stupidity. Like, no amount of technology solves a lack of wisdom. So I don't know, folks. I tend to be on the other side of that trade. So I used to say to people, silver and gold, physical silver and gold, because, hey, I'm an optimist. Yes, there'll be a reset. Yes, there'll be a period of chaos, but it'll probably won't last more than 3 or 4 years. And then maybe, if we're lucky, we'll wake up to Dagny Taggart walking out of her fucking John Galt bunker and drawing the dollar sign on the horizon, heralding the coming day of the libertarians and the freedom and the con and yeah, great. I would love that, I would love if we were headed towards a free world. That is ideal. I don't think we'll ever get there voluntarily. I really don't. I think some people are ready for it, and I think a lot of people are slaves. And I don't think they're ready for it. I don't think we're going to get there through any voluntary action. The most likely path to anything like a free world at this point is the collapse of the United States Empire. That's it. And probably a significant degradation in the power of every other government on Earth, which is another way of saying about the only way we get to a free society at this point is if governments start failing. Which kind of makes sense when you think about it. It makes sense. There goes another Life Flight helicopter. Don't know if you can hear it, but man, oh man. I wonder if another oil trader was doing a little bit too much coke. He's doing a speedball in Bellevue. I got this trade wired, okay? Tell the Goldman brokers to be in on the game by tomorrow. WTI is going to 35, I swear to God. WTI is going to 35. I've already set up my bets. Oh shit. My options are expiring. Yes, every time I hear a Life Flight helicopter, because I'm in the, if you don't know, I mentioned this in another podcast, but you might be a new listener. I live on a flight path for the helicopters that transport trauma victims and seriously injured people and other serious people, which would probably include rich people having heart attacks on the other side of Lake Washington, For reasons that should be obvious if you've ever been on the 520 bridge or the I-90 bridge. Yeah, I'm on that flight path for those helicopters. And, Harborview, which is a few blocks away, is the premier Pacific Northwest Level 1 trauma center. What does that mean? Well, in addition to being the King County Hospital, because it really is, Harborview's also, the county hospital. It is where you take people if they have suffered severe crush injuries and car accidents, if they've been exposed to fire and burns, chemical burns, electrocution, fuck. If they're suffering from anything that induces what is called shock, because shock is a response in many cases to traumatic injury, and shock can by itself kill people. If you don't know what shock is, research it. It mostly amounts to your body going a little bit berserk and not properly managing the flow of blood. But the bottom line is this, folks. I'm on the flight path of these fucking helicopters. And there are some nights, and it's weird because I'll read an article on Zero Hedge, and it'll sound like it's been a bad day in the market for somebody. And then it's like that same day, I'll hear a whole bunch of helicopters, and they do sound like they're coming from Mercer Island, Bellevue, the East Side. And if you don't know King County, a lot of people who make money live on the East Side. It's kind of like those Chinese programmers told me about a year ago at Microsoft. They asked me where I lived, and I said, I live in the International District near Chinatown. So here I am telling some actual Chinese citizens, I live near Chinatown. And one of them told me, why would you do that? That's where all the poor people and the criminals, and I'll even say this, the quote unquote people, I don't want to say what, basically they made a racist comment about essentially African Americans. Yeah, it turns out that the Chinese that come here on an H-1B visa aren't too keen about living in Chinatown. That's funny. Yeah, so people have money, they live on the East Side. And yeah, those people with money, they're priority one, baby. They're the ones that give the big gifts to the senators and the congressmen. And so, if one of those guys, or their uncle, or their niece, or their nephew is having a severe stroke because they were on the wrong side of an oil trade, then yeah, that helicopter's gonna come for them. And sure, you'll say, Dan, that helicopter. It comes for everybody. Well, I think there are homeless people under the overpass near Rainier that would never get the helicopter. In fact, even an ambulance might not show up in time. In fact, to be more precise, their bodies are usually discovered the next day. That's their reality. That's how they live, No magical helicopter time for them. I'm telling you, it's crazy. But what do I say to people now? I say, like I said, make sure you have food. Make sure you have a way to take care of yourself. And in 2015, it's funny, in 2015, the last good financial year I ever had, it was 2015, a little bit of 2016, was the last year of my life where you could say I was doing well financially. And I was, for about 12 to 14 months. And I gotta say, folks, it was wonderful. I had a safe full of ammo and silver. I had virtually no debt. I had, a Toyota Camry. I lived in a nice apartment. I lived on the eighth floor. I had all the money I needed. I had extra food. I had solar panels. It was awesome. It was also kind of a lot of bullshit. And I also have to say this too. I was in a very crooked place. Because I looked around and I realized I had all this shit, and the more of this shit that I seemed like I needed, the less meaning I seemed to find in any of it. So I knew I was going down a path. I used to think that if there was a reset, it would last a couple years and then things would be better. That could happen, folks. That is still in the great discontinuity. I have to tip my hat to that scenario. You can call it the gentle collapse of the American Empire, or the gentle collapse of the banking empire, or both, which is probably more accurate. The gentle collapse scenario would be probably as crazy as what happened to the Soviet Union. Wouldn't be the same. In some ways, it wouldn't be as bad, because I think that Americans still remember what it's like to be free. I think enough Americans still know how to solve problems without pointing guns at each other. I think that's the case. And here you go, here's some optimism that if we had a kind of collapse of the empire, I think there'd be enough adults in the room to pick up the pieces. I truly believe that. Do I think it would be messy? Yeah. Do I think there are a lot of people who depend upon pension funds, for example, or Social Security who are going to be in a lot of trouble? Yes. I'm telling you, there are things you depend upon today that are probably not going to exist in a couple years, and nobody wants to admit this. I was listening to Rob Kirby. I also listened to Martin Armstrong, and I gotta say, I got weird feelings about Martin Armstrong. He strikes me as somebody who wants to play both sides. He strikes me as somebody who kind of pretends to be a kind of Austrian common sense person. But then he sort of elevates the central banking situation to almost a situation of respect, which means it's almost like when I was listening to him today, he's trying to justify and explain why, for example, for example, he kept saying the repo's about interest rates, and of course it is. And interest rates are about liquidity, but he didn't want to use the word liquidity. He kept saying interest rates, okay? I think the guy is afraid to admit that there are scenarios where this reset occurs and even he could lose a lot. Here's the other thing too to think about, folks. When it comes to listening to these quote unquote, how can I phrase this? These experts, you need to ask yourself, what skin do they have in the game specifically? Like, what do they want the winner to be? I'll listen to a lot of crypto people, and lo and behold, if you listen to crypto people, they tell you, oh, yes, there'll be a reset, but afterwards, it'll be cryptocurrency, online shopping, electric unicycles. It'll be magical, Dan. Can you imagine? Now, of course, if you usually ask these people, why do you believe this? They'll go on to explain, well, I've been mining Ethereum and I own a few crypto. Yeah, of course you do. Of course. So in your scenario, cryptos win. And for people who've been holding on the gold, it's like, well, Dan, it'll be a mess. It'll be terrible for a while. But if you've got gold, you're gonna be rocking it, baby, like it's the Casbah. Yeah, there are people who say that. People who, and again, it depends upon their axe to grind. And then there are people who believe that the central banking system, in one form or another, is a perpetual motion machine. And no matter what happens, they'll simply, out of their Pez dispenser of fiat currencies, they'll pop another out. So whether it's Jim Rickards or Martin Armstrong or, Jim Willie, the basic contention is the dollar might lose reserve status, but something will replace it. There'll be a market basket. There'll be the, oh, what is it? The SDR, the special drawing rights that Jim Rickards has talked about, the SDR. I don't know, folks. That could happen. But again, ask yourself, what are these people invested in? If they're invested in a lot of fucking government bonds, then of course they want to tell you that something will continue because they want to believe that they're covered. And if they are, and if they believe, or they're invested in what I would call the retirement pension economy, because there really is a portion of the economy now that you could classify as the retirement economy. And this includes restaurants, this includes long-term care facility, this includes pharmaceutical companies, this includes healthcare corporations. There is a huge portion of our economy that you could label retirement. And that portion is funded by Social Security mainly, in a lot of cases mainly, secondarily by private investment, private capital, which means retirement funds, and also pension funds too. But that's all paper. And all of that could disappear. But again, people who are invested in that, they're going to tell you, on the one hand, Dan, there's going to be this weird, crazy reset. But on the other hand, people like me will be okay. It's sort of like the folks that have popped up in the last decade, especially after Obama won. Because Obama scared a lot of people, and in retrospect, he shouldn't have scared anybody any more than Bush or Clinton. He was just another kind of piece of crap politician. But there was this general sort of, you know, almost attempt at a revolt. It's kind of like, you know, the whole thing about, the Tea Party. The Tea Party stuff was this, I think, maybe in some cases, organic disgust at what happened in the wake of the 2008 great financial crisis. I think there were a lot of people involved in Tea Party and a lot of people involved in the whole fucking, Wall Street protests, the fucking protests against Wall Street in 2011. I think it comes from the same source. Now, was it managed by NGOs? Of course it was. Was it managed by the CIA? Of course it was, you know? But there was a lot of legitimate anger out there. And I think it still exists. I just think it's been co-opted pretty well. I think that some of that anger's gone to Trump, so Trump gets to use it, or Trump is receiving it. Trump is using it or receiving it, basically, just like any other person in that position would be doing right now, as part of the, you know, machine. It's part of the machine. But here's the thing for me when I think about the future. I don't start with the assumption that there's anything I can do to guarantee my safety, because there probably isn't. You can take precautions, it's true. There are better and worse places to live. Like, where I live right now is probably one of the worst places to live if you're heading into Teotihuacan. Especially given current events about the fucking Mexican bat beer virus, you know, because I live basically near Chinatown. Yeah, I probably have it already. So there are things you can do. You can pick a geographical location. You can stockpile some food. You can have a gun. You can know how to do things. But is there any way to really protect yourself from the types of events that occur maybe once or twice in a millennium? Because here's the thing. You kind of have to, you also have to ask yourself, I think, what the scale is. A lot of people are thinking about the coming tumult in terms of things like, oh, well, I went through a hurricane, Dan, in Florida. I went through a hurricane in Florida, Dan. Our power was out for 4 days. It was crazy. Our refrigerator broke down. All of our food melted. Well, that's really sad. I mean, that's a terribly sad, tragic story. But I'm not talking about 4 days without electricity. I'm talking about the fact that you might have to give up on electricity altogether for months, if not years. Depending upon where you live, depending upon how broke-ass broke your community is, depending upon how well you and your neighbors do at solving problems, you might have to spend months or years away from electricity. And if you live in a city, well, you might have the electricity, but what you might end up lacking is the food and the clean water. Yeah, that'll be another story too. Basically, every place will have too much of one thing and not enough of another. And you say, Dan, how can that happen? Well, okay, have you ever heard of just-in-time logistics? An idea that really only Joseph Stalin or a bunch of bankers could come up with. The idea of just-in-time logistics is that you don't really have any resiliency locally. You don't really produce a little bit of everything. You produce a couple things and you ship everything else in because of comparative advantage, right? Yay. Yay. Until, you realize that most of your food comes from someplace else. And there is no feasible way you're going to ramp up to feed a city of, let's say, 2 or 3 million people once the food runs out. So yeah, I live in a terrible place for Teotihuacan. Anybody that lives in a city is already sitting in a terrible spot. You've already been struck out by the pitcher. You're not even getting the first base in most cases. That's what I would say about living in a city. But here's the thing, though. I used to believe that 4 or 5 years ago because I used to be more of an optimist. So I'd say things like, go get a farm someplace. I truly don't know if there's going to be a place that's going to be quote unquote safe from what's coming. I think there'll be safer places. It's like me joking about Tierra del Fuego. My own instincts tell me that Antarctica is going to be the safe zone for the rich and the powerful. So if you can get close to Antarctica, even if it's only 1,000 miles away close, which means still far enough away, if that's as close as you can get, my advice is would be, is there a place you could move where your odds of survival increase? Move as close as you can to where the rich people are going. I mean, that's all I can say. You're not likely to get to Antarctica. They will, unlike what they tell people in Italy and France, why don't you let those immigrant boats come in? Ha. George Soros won't be saying that at Condo Complex 11 Delta in Antarctica. George Soros will be saying, why haven't you turned on the Sea Whiz? And if you don't know what Sea Whiz is, that's naval terminology for a 20-millimeter Vulcan cannon. Yes, George Soros will say, why haven't you shredded those boats yet? The young captain in charge will be wary of shooting up men, women, and children in the waters off the coast of Antarctica. Shoot 'em up with the Sea Whiz. Shoot 'em up with the 20-millimeter electric-powered Vulcan cannon. Yeah, hypocrisy's everywhere, isn't it? It's probably the current reality of human behavior. Yeah. So yeah, I guess maybe if you can find yourself someplace in Tierra del Fuego or someplace in Chile or Argentina or even southern Brazil, like far south in Brazil, if you can find someplace as close to the tip of South America as possible, that might be the safest bet. But who the fuck has the money to do that? Who the fuck has the resources? I mean, I can imagine putting on my backpack and trying to walk all the way to Chile. It's theoretically possible. How I would make it there and how long it would take, it would probably take 3 years, maybe 4 years. And that's assuming I can hitch rides and work my way there. Okay, there is no way I can get there. It's not even feasible. Now, if I suddenly became extraordinarily wealthy in the 5 minutes we all have left to prepare, holy yeah, well, that would be amazing. But that kind of fits into the category of I'm sexy Charlton Heston in the Omega Man reality, and Scarlett Johansson knocks on my door. That's about how likely it is I'm going to get a lot of money at this point. The people that have the money, in general, support a philosophy that is so opposed to mine that if they listened to what I'm saying, they wouldn't want to give me the money. And the people that probably would appreciate what I'm saying, please don't be offended, in general, don't have a lot of money. It's one of the reasons why I don't try to beg for money too much. it's kind of shitty, in my opinion, to ask for money from people who probably don't have any money themselves, really. You know, if you wonder why I don't do a hard sell on donations, well, that's why. I don't think these are easy times for a lot of people. And a lot of people, you know, at our level, they might enjoy me, but they just might not have the cash. So there you go. So if I somehow, by some miracle or demonic accident, became wealthy, I have considered the possibility of moving to Tierra del Fuego, as crazy as that sounds, and let me explain why. Because let's say that none of this happens. Let's say it's the Jetsons' future, it's rocket ships to Mars, it's cocaine parties on the moons of Jupiter. Let's say all that fucking Ray Kurzweil, Von Neumann, Elon Musk, singularity bullshit happens. Then why not live in Tierra del Fuego, the land of fire? I might fall in love in Tierra del Fuego with old Maria Elazar. Who is she? A woman, a Chilean woman I just invented in my head. She's 45 years old. If I had the money, if I became rich enough, I would clear up my debt. I would take up whatever issues I have with various tax authorities and clear that up because they're fuckers. I would get my fucking passport squared away. And if I could purchase a passport, citizenship, whatever you need to do from the Chilean government, I would do that. And I would move to Tierra del Fuego. I would. It's the only place on Earth right now I think I would move permanently. Tierra del Fuego. Anything in southern Chile, anything in southern Argentina, I would probably go there. But you know what? I don't have the money. I only have myself to blame. This is not a sob story. Sob stories involve tragedies. And whatever you want to say about my pathetic existence, it's not really a tragedy. So no, I don't have the money to move to Tierra del Fuego. But if you're asking me, Dan, why can't you ever talk about positive things? Well, this is something I would love to be able to do. But if you're asking me, is there any place in the United States of America, the Death Star, called the USA, where it's safer to be? Maybe there are safer places. But every place on the Death Star is going to be hurt pretty bad. Like, everyone is going to suffer. Okay? And probably, you know, to the degree people are guilty and responsible, rightly so. I mean, I'm sorry, but our country's done some pretty terrible shit. And probably committed war crimes. And yeah, guess what? Even if there is no international law, that kind of crap comes back to haunt you. People tend to remember that stuff. People tend to hold grievances. So that's what I would say about the situation vis-a-vis where do you live? I think Tierra del Fuego, and I've said it before, Tierra del Fuego. But am I ever going to get there? No. Another possibility, because I really don't know how unstable things are there, is South Africa. Now, that comes with an asterisk. Because if you listen to the news propaganda on the alternative side, they'll have you believe there's white genocide in South Africa right now. And that could be true. I really don't know. I've seen the documentaries on YouTube. The people seem honest when they're talking about it. I don't have any reason to believe that they're lying. On the other hand, I had a relative visit South Africa about a year and a half ago, and I asked this relative about these things I was reading about in the news, and it was as if this person had visited a completely different country. So, one of my operating theories is there are times when the media will tell you some place is the worst place on earth when it's not. And this includes the, alternative media. Wow, maybe it's not so alternative. You ever think about that? And drink some more water here while I collect my random thoughts for Sunday night. Hopefully this week we'll have a time travel podcast. Hopefully this week I'll get my fucking editing done on chapter one of Little Saigon Diary, and we'll get some fucking fiction going here in this podcast world, hopefully. But then again, I might also end up just spending my days not giving a fuck, which is completely unhealthy, totally stupid, and guess what? I am a human being. I am imperfect as fuck. I am a drifter. And if you're gonna ask me, am I okay with that? Yes, I've accepted the consequences. I've accepted the consequences. I know what happens next. I've seen this movie before. It's R-rated. It's not for kids. I know what happens next. If you want to imagine the turmoil of history, you need to remember that throughout history, people still have kids. Okay? They still have families. Otherwise, the human race would cease to exist. But that doesn't mean everybody gets a happy ending. There will be love. There will be love in the plague year. But that doesn't mean every lover gets a happy ending. There will be adventure. There will be discovery. There will be the brilliance of the future in the plague year. But that doesn't mean everybody gets a happy ending. Yes, there's going to be adventure and drama and comedy and love and hate and romance and families and all kinds of amazing shit in the plague year. And there will be some happy endings. But not everyone's gonna get one. That's the thing about the time, this time, the times that we're in and the times ahead. You know, is it the end of the world? Well, probably not. Are some people's worlds going to end? Probably they do every day. And I gotta say, I marvel at my own bullshit, at my own fucking bullshit, I'm at my own fucking morbid reminiscence of these issues. And I marvel at mine and that of every fucking first worlder and every fucking American, given the number of weddings and funerals and small towns that we've obliterated with hellfire missiles and white phosphorus since 9/11. We all meditate on, oh my God, is it the end of the world? Fuck. Well, there are towns in Iraq back in 2003 and 4, they probably would have told you it was the end of the world, and for them it was. They all got killed. There are people who were shot up by, heavy cannons on Apache helicopters, journalists and men, women, and children. When that shit was happening, I think they would say, it was the end of the world. Really, the end of the world is a perspective, isn't it? If I get the fucking Mexican bat up the butt anal virus next week, I'll probably think it's the end of the world. You might even hear me screaming into the podcast microphone as I slowly melt. My friends, Kalu Kalay, I am drifting away. I will soon be gone. I'm not here for long. Remember me, my fellow humans. Remember me in those days and years to come. Have my body burned. Have my ashes strewn across the narrow fields and the byways and the wayside. Have what's left of me eaten by coyotes. And then have those coyotes eaten by alligators. That's my living will. You promise you'll do those things if I die of the Mexican bat shit crazy virus? The fucking Corona beer Mexican virus? Y'all gonna, like, mourn me? No. Why would you? Why would you mourn the passing of your good friend in Little Saigon when you know, I'm going up to Comet X-21. According to Dr. Freckles, Comet X-21 has a mothership on it. And if I wear the right jumpsuit, and I put on the right Adidas tennis shoes, I can get to the fucking mothership near Comet 21. I understand the danger. I understand that the Kool-Aid contains a nutrient called death. People. I don't know. I'm thinking about this. I'm trying to, like, focus on the what to do and the wherefore. I mean, I wonder to myself, in a few weeks I have to float my resume whether I want to or not, and do I really think it's gonna matter? Like, for example, if this fucking plague virus became a legit thing, imagine job interviews. That's gonna be fun. Hey, my name's Dan. Would you like to shake my MRSA hand? My name's Dan. Would you like to shake my nasty-ass hands that are covered in sores and fucking openings and bloody wounds? Would you like to shake my wound hand? My name's Dan. Yeah, those job interviews could be interesting. Very interesting, and who knows? Yeah, I don't know, I'm just, you wonder about these times we're living in, and you say to yourself, what is the best possible choice I could make? Would it be to make as much money as possible, and maybe go to the mall and plan trips while I still can and not give a shit? I mean, that's a good strategy, and I wish I could do that one. The problem is, I'm unable to shut my brain down. Like, I can shut most of it down, and then I start listening to the nonsense people say, and it drives me insane. So that option's not a very good one. I've thought about just doing a regular Joe job, like washing dishes. And I gotta say, I think, assuming there's anything like normality 2 months from now, I think that's what I'm gonna be trying to do, getting a job, like maybe construction, maybe fucking dishes. And oh, by the way, anyone in the Seattle area, if you need, like, manual labor and you're willing to pay cash and it's close enough to a full-time gig that I can make enough money to justify it, listen, I don't need a lot of money. I don't need to get paid software rates. And I may not be young, but I can lift some fucking shit. So, yeah, if you're out there and you want somebody to help you with something, maybe even you need an employee. But honestly, dudes, if you're out there, you're probably just struggling. This is the thing. This is the thing that troubles me at times. It's like there are so many people, especially in the anarchist movement, who are very true people, real people, sincere people. I've met these people. They're under a lot of pressure sometimes because, hey, being an anarchist in America, not so fucking easy given how people act. But they're decent, sincere people, and they're all under pressure. Nobody has enough money. It's not like, I mean, here's the thing. If you're asking yourself, where does the money go in our system? And that includes the crypto shit. Because listen, that crypto money seems to be chasing after people like Yang right now. So that includes crypto as well. But the money in America, it doesn't go to freedom. It goes to control. That's where the money goes. If you want to ask yourself, where does the lobby money go in the United States in terms of power? It does not go to liberty. Nobody is really lobbying for more freedom. I mean, yeah, you could say, well, what about gun owners of America? I don't know. I mean, I think that gun owners and probably the NRA are lobbying to slow things down. Like, I think they would like things to be slower, that our path to tyranny might take longer. I think that's a fair statement. But do I think they're actually really lobbying to turn back the clock and bring us more freedom? No, I just think they're fighting maybe a battle to stave off the total collapse of freedom, but I'm not even sure they're doing that, really. I don't know. For the most part in America today, if you believe in peace and liberty and actual free enterprise, you can't get money. You can't get money to work on community projects. You can't get money to invest in a company. However, if you go to somebody and you say you figured out a way to take advantage of the markets, or you figured out a way to take advantage of real estate, or you figured out a way to take advantage of big pharma and healthcare, and it might be something totally crappy, like the shittiest thing in the world, and it might be ostensibly almost humanitarian, it's irrelevant. If you're in the markets of the prisons and the military and the poisons, you get money. There's money there, lots of money, billions and trillions of dollars in all the things that are making our lives worse. But for liberty and local agriculture and anything even remotely looking like sustainability, there really is no money for that. If you listen to my podcast and you have taken care of your food, your water, and your shelter, and you currently have taken care of enough of these things, you feel safe, and you've helped out the people you love, your friends, your family, and after doing these necessary things, and they are important, you still have money left over. I mean after the hookers, after the cocaine, after all the fucking meth, after all the fucking going into the streets and loading up your Pontiac GTO with ammo and dynamite and a bunch of fucking women and strippers. If after all this mayhem, you still have cash left over and you want to donate to the Little Saigon Report, you can. It's totally possible. There'll be donation links in the description of this particular individual podcast, this one. And there's also links to Venmo and PayPal on my SoundCloud homepage, which you can conveniently reach by going to iamsully.com. For this Sunday night, Sunday evening, as the sun goes down and the world begins to shift towards darkness, I want to wish all of us good luck in the plague year. If this is the plague year, I hope we all have that good luck, you know. What is it? Ring around the rosy, pocket full of posies, ashes, ashes, we all fall down. That's a nice little song from another plague year. Yes, for this Sunday night, Good evening, good luck, brilliant opportunities in the plague year for those of you with true grit. If you're willing to go out into the streets and hunt the ancient meats, the ancient proteins, if you're willing to grasp life by the fucking testicles and go out into this strange and crazy world, there's adventure and romance and possibilities all on the horizon. Just be fucking careful.